It's time now to find out the week's Spanish news, and we have Nick Lyne with us this morning. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Bill. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm just looking at the weather forecast for Murcia, and people will understand why in just a moment. So 31 Celsius today, moderate easterly winds, but glorious sunshine. So what etiquette do we need to know to enjoy that weather, Nick?
Well, despite the fact that with those sort of temperatures, the first thing you might want to do is take your clothes off.
Yes.
You won't be able to take all of them off, I'm
right,
afraid, from now on. Now, I'm not sure. Are you a nudist, Bill?
No.
Okay. You'd rather not comment on that.
Absolutely, anyway. I'll comment on it. Not in a million years.
In case any of our listeners know which beaches you tend to
pick. Some things
with.
You can't unsee ever, Nick.
Yeah, me. Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on in Spain. I mean, we seem to be, tolerance and the liberalism that has characterised this. In the last sort of 40-odd years since General Franco popped his clogs, we seem to be going into reverse. So, but yes, I don't know if you know San Pedro del Pinatar. Are you familiar with the coast of Murcia?
No, but we have a San Pedro about 100 metres away from us, so that's, yeah. Not the same one.
No, and I don't think you get too much nudism on that beach
anymore,
would you? Well, just quickly, I remember one of the first times I visited Malaga back in the early 80s, 82 I think it was. There was fun little beaches just in front of little Mijas where the lighthouse is.
Oh, yes, El Faro. Yes.
You have to sort of clamber down to them, don't you?
Oh, there's a nudist beach there. There's definitely one there.
There is. Is it still there?
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah, I remember being very impressed by the fact that some people had a guitar and they were dancing flamenco in the nude.
Oh, God!
Now, there we go. There's an image to stay with you for the rest of the day. Right,
dear.
I'll try to get back on
track. If you would.
The beaches of San Pedro del Pinatar, sort of lovely unspoiled beaches in Murcia, which basically, I mean, going back, really right back to the sort of early days of the transition, or even the last days of as I said, of old Franco, people, used to get all their kit off and do a bit of nudist sunbathing there.
Right.
But the local council, which is run by the, as we like to say, Conservative Popular mm-hmm. Party, has decided that, an end must come, and nudism will no longer be an option there as of July the 24th, which is this weekend. So anybody interested, get down there quick and do it. Not only that, and this is one decision that I have to say I am in favour of, which is that beachgoers will no longer be able to plant umbrellas there.
Uh-huh.
To reserve a spot.
Oh, I see. As opposed to in the hope they may grow other umbrellas. That's not the same thing at all. No, okay. Right.
There's a lovely beach called Cantarijan, which is just between Malaga and Granada, where they've got these lovely sort of sunbeds. And so you pay your money and you get your sunbed with your little, your coconut sort of thing on top of it.
Yep.
Sit down there. And then somebody comes along and goes, chonk, and puts an umbrella down about sort of 3 metres in front of you.
Yep.
And then somebody comes and puts another one in front of that. So on that regard, I'm in favour.
Yeah.
No longer will you be able to ride a bicycle along the seafront either, or take your pet onto the beach, or listen to loud music. So there's a bit of everything in there. Some of which I must admit I'd have to say I agree with. Some of it I said a bit less tolerant. Now there has been a opposition, obviously, to the decision from the local socialist party, Ciudadanos and United Left, who all sort of say the rules are too restrictive. They're among the toughest in Spain, they've said, despite the PP arguing that the rules actually simply replicate those that are now in place, more or less up and down the Spanish coast. And I think San Sebastián has just announced it's about to. Sort of, I'm not sure crackdown's the word, but I'm about to sort of change its rules as well on nudity. And as I said, so locals claim that, total nudity was commonplace on La Lana Beach. And then you've also got La Torre Derribada, where naturism has gained ground in the last decade or so. And, both beaches are quite away from the centre of town, and they're in a natural park called Las Salinas. And, apparently, people that don't want to get all their kit off have been quite happily coexisting with those who do. But the councillor in charge of beaches there, Sylvia Ejea, says that as tourism has increased in recent years, they're no longer the isolated paradise they were a few decades ago. What they're looking to do is basically attract family and sport-based tourism.
Okay.
So there's another image to conjure with.
It is a bit, yes. Oh, dear. Shuttlecocks. I do remember once back in my very, very early days of radio, I think I must have been 16 years old, and we were invited to do an outside broadcast on the Isle of Wight at the Black Gang nudist beach, and we were going to take our radio car there until we discovered that both the presenter and the engineer had to be naked.
I was
going to be one of the engineers, bizarrely, at that point, and I decided that I was busy that day. But they did go ahead. I have to say, our presenter did go there with the engineer, and they both got their kit off and did the broadcast.
This is what we call nude radio.
Exactly. Making the nudes.
Moving quickly along.
Indeed. Off we go from nudity to shoes.
Right, yes. Well, it's a bit of a plug, this one, but quite a nice little story. I don't know, do you pay much attention to men's footwear, Bill?
Oh, I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan. I wear them always, as opposed to ladies' footwear, yeah.
Now, the big trend apparently this summer is I can't remember quite how to say it, it's the sapargata, I think is the term, which is a sort of combination of a shoe and an alpargata, as the Spanish call it, although we Brits tend to call them espadrilles.
I remember those. Espadrilles and culottes, that's what all the girls used to wear, mate. Yeah.
That's right, yes, they sort of, a bit like suede, they sort of go out of fashion and they sort of come back round, yeah. So if you hang on to you. And they're very popular, those sort of chunky alpargatas or espadrilles. It was very popular with a certain type of well-heeled Spaniard.
Right.
What's sometimes known as pijos, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They had the hair combed back and the sort of blue shirt, the cuffs rolled up, and they wear these sort of chunky soles.
Well, don't forget the stench of the eau de cologne that they're wearing, which is 100 metres away from them as they go past you.
You make the mistake of shaking hands with one of those people, and they spend the rest of the day going, what the heck?
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got four university graduates who, by the look of these sort of photographs out there, they look at them themselves, if they come from sort of fairly well-heeled families. They've got no background in fashion. I think they've all sort of studied business and management. But they came up with this idea for as I said, for a sort of canvas, if you can sort of picture this, a sort of canvas shoe, rope-soled, right. But with laces.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. Don't sound too impressed.
Yeah, go on.
Anyway, yeah, so they thought about, they weren't looking at finding a job anytime soon. so they thought, why don't we try and set up a small company.
Yeah.
So this was two and a half years ago. The company's called Pompeii, and aiming at the sort of public that would buy stuff like, Superga, those are some rather smart Italian sort of canvas tennis shoes. Then you've got your skater ones, which is Vans.
Oh, yes.
You've got kids?
But you've forgotten the yachty shoes as well, the ones that all yachties wear. The yachty ones as well.
So there's a bit of a mash-up, as the young people like to say, of all these types of shoes. And as I said, the leather laces make them similar to deck shoes or boat shoes.
I see.
So you can have a canvas or a leather exterior. You can have them with laces. You can have the espadrille and even a rubber sole as well. And they seem to have sort of taken the imagination of Spanish fashion experts. And if you hipsters as well. I think it's a bit of a sort of hipster thing going on there. But the real trick to this is that they actually, well, I say only. They cost only €50.
Well, I guess for a decent pair of shoes, that's not too bad, is it?
I suppose so. You'd pay sort of upwards of that for a pair of sort of trainers.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely.
All
those Ponzi trainers that cost over €100 is nonsense.
Exactly. So the reason I think that they've scored such a hit here with the young people is they've priced them very cleverly.
And the Spanish do like a shoe. I mean, there's a lot of shoe shops in Spain. I have to confess, that's one of the first things I spotted with, how many shoe shops there are.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, people come from the UK, don't they? And they sort of, the first thing they want to do is sort of buy Spanish shoes.
Yeah.
So for the moment, these lads, I think most of their trade is in Spain. But I can imagine this is the sort of story, especially thanks to free publicity like we're giving them, that the UK media might pick up on this, and who knows, maybe even this summer or next summer, they could become the next big fashion trend in the UK.
Fabulous.
You heard it here first.
Fantastic. Well, you break the big stories, I tell you, blimey.
I tell you what.
That's it. Jerry Paxman, not a chance. Finally, poor old Ronaldo. The tax man has it in for him, yeah.
He's got it in for me,
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you sort of saw or heard the story last week, but the Spanish tax agency boarded a yacht.
Yep.
Last week off the coast of Ibiza, supposedly owned by Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his sort of management are basically complaining that he's under unfair and undue pressure. I mean, this I suppose follows, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? He was threatening to leave Real Madrid.
Yes.
And sort of take his skills elsewhere. And now I think he's sort of saying that his privacy has been further invaded by the Spanish tax authorities. Now, he faces allegations of avoiding $14.7 million.
That's quite a lot.
Well, you say that, but apparently he can command up to €1 million for half a day's work.
Good grief.
So if he got his finger out in a week, he could just about sort of pay that back.
Oh, well, that's stop moaning then, mate. Just pay it up. Off you go. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, that's the one thing that he's got going on there. But the firm that represents him is this, it's called Gestifute. Now, I can't quite remember the name of the Portuguese guy who owns that company. He's also under the spotlight for tax avoidance as well.
Okay.
And they say that Ronaldo has been renting yachts for his vacations for several years, and that this was the first time any of them had been inspected.
Right.
And what's more, it didn't even belong to him.
Okay.
So they're asking, well, what was the need for this, to board? I wonder if they were wearing decks.
Worse? What they nude? That would be even worse.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. But anyway, yes, a bit of a storm in a yacht.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, this is going to rattle on and on, isn't it, basically, the story?
Well, I'm afraid it will, because, of course, he's due in court over the tax fraud allegations on July the 31st.
That's right.
So we can expect this story to roll on and on.
Fantastic. Okay, good stories as always. Thank you, sir. Where can we find out more about those and others?
Well, you can find us on our website, El País in English, which you can access either through El País or now just by Googling that directly. Obviously, you can find us on Facebook, and we are regular tweeters.
Yeah, so well, you don't hold that against you. Yeah, we all have our cross to bear, Nick. Thanks, you go. See you later. Cheers.
All the best.
Bye-bye.